Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So is there a new silent killer out there? I mean, we all know blood pressure is kind of like the classic silent killer, right? I think most people are familiar with that. But my guest, who is Dr. Robert H. Gregg, he's the president and chairman of the board for Millennium Dental Technologies Incorporated. He thinks there's another silent killer out there. Dr. Gregg is a former faculty member at UCLA School of Dentistry. He's been using lasers clinically since, August 1990, so he's really one of the pioneers here. He's given lectures nationally, internationally on the subject of clinical laser application, and he is co-developer and patent holder on the Lenap laser treatment. Dr. Gregg, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. Good to be with you.
So, okay, so what's this new silent killer that you think we need to know more about?
Well, an interesting report was just published defining that fatal heart attacks are more associated with advanced gum disease, and those people who survive heart attacks have less severe or no gum disease. And that's something new, because we have heard about the connection between gum disease, inflammatory markers, and heart attack, stroke, preterm babies, low birth weight babies, Alzheimer's, pancreatic cancer, and the list goes on. But there's not been there's only been an association between the various different systemic diseases and periodontal disease, not a direct causation. They've now found a causation effect with the sudden death in advanced periodontal disease and someone who then has a heart attack.
Dr. Gregg, are they linking this? Have they identified any? I know we believe that there's this inflammatory component, but in the mid 90s, there was some work looking at certain infectious bacteria, right, in the mouth that may be seeding some of the plaques. Where is that research at?
Well, we're finding out more and more about this very insidious germ called Porphyromorus gingivalis, or P. gingivalis. It's anaerobic, that is, it's a germ that lives in the absence of oxygen and feeds and predates or attacks the living cells and invades the living cells. But we're finding out that it isn't just isolated to the mouth, that it travels throughout the bloodstream and then lands on, percolates through the heart vessel wall and other organs and their walls to lay in wait. And they are opportunistic pathogens. That is, they wait for some other weakening of the patient's immune system to express themselves or become active. So they can lay dormant. In fact, we all have P. gingivalis in our mouths. It's not a foreign germ. It's a common germ that can be found. But it's whether or not there are other cofactors that trigger it to become the nasty germ that it can be.
So what are some of those other cofactors then?
Well, for example, smoking. That depresses the immune system, specifically neutrophils, so that we can't fight off P. gingivalis should it decide to test the water, so to speak. Diabetes and an elevated A1C in diabetics also can change the permeability of the cells, and again, allowing a more hospitable environment for P. gingivalis to activate. Then we also know that there's an inflammatory protein, C-reactive protein, that's also elevated in patients with diabetes and metabolic stress syndromes. That also has an impact and effect on activating P. gingivalis. So you can just imagine if someone has a confluence or a number of these elevated markers, that they're high risk of activating P. gingivalis. And the more advanced gum disease, the more likelihood you have a large volume of P. gingivalis circulating in your system and lying in wait. And that's where the trouble begins. It's
so I guess the question then, so Dr. Gray, the question becomes for me, okay, so since we've moved away from just an association, right, we're now saying there's a cause-effect link here. Should cardiologists be treating gum disease now? I mean, where do we go with where do we go? I mean, should we be looking at periodontal disease like we do blood pressure?
Absolutely. And in fact, I was speaking with a cardiologist not that long ago, and we were discussing the correlations, and that was this predates the causation that I'm now talking about. And he was clueless to the information that I was talking about, and he kind of got a little animated and said, well, this is why we need to talk more amongst our specialty. And indeed, there has been some collaboration between the American Academy of Periodontology and the cardiologists, and they have done some collaborative work and workshops looking at this. And I am hearing and experiencing firsthand collaboration with cardiologists, referrals from cardiologists with patients who are about to undergo heart valve replacement or placement, and they're calling and saying or referring them over to me to basically clean up the infection in the mouth. And in the old days, we used to extract everything. Well, people don't want to have their teeth extracted these days. It's not the 1940s. They want to keep their teeth, not have everything taken out, and live with dentures. As we know,
the good news is we're able to do that a little bit better than the old what was it called, like the cut and sew type techniques of the past. But before we go there though, because I want to talk more about what you offer in your laser treatment, some of your research. But before we do that, maybe we, for my listeners, Dr. Gray, can we just back up for a second and just define, because we've mentioned this already a couple times, periodontal disease. What exactly is that?
Well, periodontal is a name for what happens when gingivitis goes bad. Gingivitis is an inflammation of the gum tissue, but not yet the destruction of the underlying structures, the bone and the ligament that support the teeth. But when the bacteria combine with the calcium in our saliva, we get plaque or tartar on our teeth. As if that's not removed on a consistent basis, it wants to advance down into the pocket, and when it does so, it dissolves the bone and the supporting structures of the teeth, which can then lead to eventually tooth loss. It's a painless, silent disease for the most part, like high blood pressure is, like elevated A1C. So you don't necessarily know it's happening. And many patients come in, they have no clue that they've got gum disease. Yeah. So that's really kind of what it is in a nutshell.
Is receding gum line a symptom of this as well, or is that something different?
It's something different. It's called attachment loss, but it's not the same thing as an inflammatory breakdown of the supporting structures. It has other factors like orthodontics, where the teeth are pushed through the bone and then the gum has to recede because there's no bone. Tissue typically likes to remain at the height of the bone. Periodontal disease is an exception to that, in that the tissue can remain high by the neck of the tooth where you would expect to see it, but the bone loss can be quite destructive underneath.
So speaking of the periodontal disease, well, how many people in the United States do you think are affected by this?
Well, according to the U.S. Surgeon General's report, 85% of the adult population has some form. Now, that doesn't mean they have full-blown gum disease. They may have one or two areas that are probing beyond normal. But there is an estimate of around 100 million adults that have moderate to severe gum disease. 50% of those, or excuse me, 97% of those aren't getting treated.
Okay. Dr. Gregg, let's leave it there. We come back. Let's talk about treatment of periodontal disease. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.